Morning, church. So, you know that quite many times I have done the preaching in RHC, and you know the backbenchers will be suffering a lot. So, what I will do is that they have to, the mic can be given to the last person. I think, Ramnathan, you are the last person to join. So, you can take the mic and you can pass it on to everyone. I'll not be calling out names, and we will be reading the scripture portion wherever I'll be telling you. So, yeah, with that, we'll start. Today, the chapter is Acts 27, and that is shipwreck on the way to Rome. And let me tell you, Acts 27, preaching Acts 27 itself is a privilege, right? Because Pastor Virgil will agree with me that this is every preacher's bucket list chapter. They want to preach on chapter 27 of Acts. It's a wonderful inspiration, wonderful encouragement, especially like when we are going through a storm, and this is a storm in our life, and this is an incredible chapter. And with that, let me tell you, this is one last chapter remaining for Acts series. And how many of you, let me put this very frank question in the church, how many of you have attended all the 27 chapters till now in this church? Okay. Okay, there in the back. Okay, fair enough. Okay. Those who have raised their hands, maybe the people, those who are next to them, you can congratulate them and say that good that you finished Acts series. Okay. So we are encouraging everyone to attend all the church services and be a part of this. In fact, those who have completed all the 27 by the next Sunday, I think church can give them some award, okay? Some certificate. Okay, they are a certified preacher on Acts. Okay, yeah, in that way. But congratulations, yeah. And this is an amazing journey, like reading Acts 27, Acts, the complete series. And we will be finishing this. This chapter itself is very historic. And when I say historic, a lot of scholars, not just biblical scholars, but many like historians, they have referred to Acts 27 to understand how ships are being created, how they are being managed during a tempest in the sea, and what are the different kind of masts they used, rudders, and so on and so forth. So in a way, it is referred by scientists also to understand the historic ships and all those things. It is also, Acts 27, it's the greatest survival story. Like we hear many stories. One person was stranded, one was kidnapped, and they tell stories, they make movies out of it. But I'll say that Acts 27 is an incredible survival story. It's an adventurous story. Each and every verse that you will read, you will find twists and turns. So you'll, as we read the verses, you'll come to know. And before we start the reading the verses, I have some questions for you, which I don't expect you to answer, but I want you to reflect on it. Okay, so there are a few questions like, are you currently going through a problem, or have you gone through a very difficult problem and there was no chance of coming out of it? And you may be going through those thoughts that, Lord, you understand my pain, but why, God, you are doing this to me? I am just following your word, but still I'm suffering. You may be having these questions like, why good people have to suffer? Or to be specific, like Christians have to suffer? Why my life is shipwrecked? Why it is not finding a shore? Why there is no hope I see? I'm not going to answer all these questions, or nor I'm intending to. But while we are reading this chapter and while we are learning this, I hope this will answer to all these questions. It is the last voyage of Paul the Apostle, and it is the last recorded. And many historians, then they make a guess what happens after this. And but this is what chapter 27 and 28, and he finally reaches Rome. And if you remember, what is this context about? If you have missed last Sunday, or you are not sure what is Acts 27, the background as of now, I'll just make a quick recap. Okay, so Paul always wanted to go to Rome, and that we can read from chapter 19:21. And I request Ramnathan to start from there. Read chapter 19:21, Acts. 1921.
It's not working. When these things were accomplished, all purposed in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to the Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome.
So Paul's intention always in his life was to go to Rome. And while we are at chapter 19 that we were reading, and we are now in Acts 27, it's been good long years. And this wish of his to go to Rome is not fulfilled, because as you see, he goes to Jerusalem, gets arrested. And by this time, he has himself presented, defending himself. He has gone through three trials before defending his faith, he's defending his stand. And many years have been gone. Scholars say that it may be somewhere around 2 or 3 years or 5 years. And he is, as you see in the previous chapter in Acts 27, he had defended before King Agrippa. And if you had attended last church session also, then you must be knowing that while he was defending his faith, he said that, listen to me patiently, King Agrippa. And he is telling all his background, his testimony, his life story, what his life was before he knew Jesus, and then after accepting faith, how his life is. He told everything. But at the last point, when he says in Acts 27, he says that Jesus will proclaim light to both our people and Gentiles. The moment he says that, King Agrippa says that, are you nuts? Are you out of your mind? And you know that Paul is a very learned person, and this is what Agrippa is taunting him. He is saying, your great learning is driving you out of your mind. Can we read that in Acts 27, that verse? 26 you will find it, sorry. Only that particular verse where King Agrippa is quoting this line which I said. Are you out of your mind? Yeah. Okay. So you know this, like, and for this, Paul may not have quickly answered that, but he answers this in 1 Corinthians 1:18. The next person can read that. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Yeah. So, for the message of the cross is foolishness to people, okay? But for us, what is it? Yeah. It is a power of God. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so now in towards the end of Acts 26, King Agrippa says that since you had appealed to Caesar you will go. And he was saying that if you had not appealed to Caesar, I would have released you, or maybe you would have been, you will not be convicted, and so on and so forth. But this is what it is. He is being sent to Caesar, and here we go to the next chapter. And Paul is, throughout all these things, Paul is surrendering to the will of God. Because in many of the chapters, in the previous chapter also, the angel of the Lord, God, Jesus himself appeared, and he said that just like you took a stand, you shared your testimony in Jerusalem, similarly you will be going to Rome and you will share the testimony. So this is what Paul is surrendering to the will of God, that I need to go to Rome and share the testimony. So the journey is yet not over. He has to move on. So let's read from verse 1. And Sheetal, yeah.
When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment. We boarded a ship from Adramyttium about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and when we put out to sea, Aristarchus and Macedonia from Thessalonica was with us. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friend so they might provide for his needs.
42, 4 to 6.
From there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus, because the winds were against us. When we had sailed across the open sea of the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra in Lycia. There the Syrian found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite Salamina. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens, near the town of Lazia.
So now you here from verse 1, you see the writer is using the word we. So it includes Luke. He is also on board. He is also going along with Paul. And you also see that one more fellow is being is joining. That is Aristarchus. Okay. Yeah. So Paul is with his companions. Yeah. And you will try to understand why a prisoner is also being allowed to go with his companions. Okay. They are not prisoners. They are free men. But you find here one centurion whose name is Julius. And he's been like Paul uses his writing is very Luke's writing is very very specific. His writing is based on facts. He takes interviews and he uses the names, references, and he also uses like designation from where he belongs and so on and so forth. Like Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. Now he had shown favor to Paul, and Paul was, because the centurion knew Paul is not a condemned man, okay? And maybe Paul, his life had inspired the centurion believing that this man is genuine. Even if I release him, he will go meet his friends, he will come back. If I say that by 5 o'clock you have to come back, you have to board this ship, he will still, he can trust him in that way. This centurion, let's try to understand, they are at a very higher position in a Roman army, and as the word says, centurion, they are supervising 100 people, like century, okay, like in cricket we see. So in the New Testament also, we'll see many of the centurions who are in this Roman empire, in soldiers, they have accepted faith and they have been good, living good Christian life. Can you tell me any of other centurions that you find in New Testament who have shown great faith? Anyone? Come on, that is very easy, okay? So there was one centurion who goes to Jesus and he says that my servant is sick, come and pray for him and he will be healed. And Jesus says, let's go to your home. And the centurion says that I'm not worthy that you come to my house. You just say the word and my servant will be healed. And what does Jesus say to him? The whole of this city, whole of this place, I have never seen such kind of faith. So if Jesus was a controller of examination, he would have given him A+ grade. Wow, what a faith, right? So that was one centurion. You can see that he believed in Jesus. There was also another centurion where we find in Luke 23:47. I'm not reading the verse, but you can refer to it. Luke 23:47, when Jesus was crucified, there was a big storm. The sky was darkened and there was an earthquake. And there, the centurion who was present there, he said, he praised God. He said, indeed, he was a very good man. Okay, so we don't know if he believed or not, but that's mentioned. He praised God. Okay. Then we also see in Acts itself, in chapter 10, there was a centurion. His name was Cornelius. Okay, and he was in Caesarea and he asked Peter to come to his home, tell him about the gospel, and he used to give help to the needy people. He also did a lot of prayers. So he was a modern-day pastor, or you can say a modern-day reverend, but though in that high official position, he's a believer. At this point, I want to tell you that many times I and Pastor have discussed, we want a lot of Christian people to go in government official authorities, okay? So we want our Christian people to appear for UPSC exam, IPS exam, and come to that position where you can show God's testimony. You can be the testimony of Jesus there, yeah? And as we see Julius, who is showering that favor to Paul, and he is also being told at one place in, is that in Sidon? Yeah, he is being told that you can go and meet your friends and you can receive care, okay? By, I think that is the meaning that Paul was very much hurt in terms of physical and he needed care. He needed some, maybe medication or someone to take care of him. That's why he's saying that go meet your people, receive the care and come back. Moving ahead, also in this verse you will find there was a ship which was named Alexandrian, okay? And this ship was moving to Rome, and this ship was actually coming from Egypt, okay? Many historian scholars, biblical scholars, they have gone to the depth and they have found it that this is coming from Egypt, and they're meeting at this point, and the Roman centurion and all the prisoners, they are all boarding in this ship, which is actually a cargo ship, and they are taking the grain. They are taking all the wheat. As you see in the next verses, you will come to know that they are in the storm and they will drop all the grain in the water. So you will come to know all these things. So it is actually a cargo ship. They are not carrying any furniture or maybe some other items, but they are only carrying grain. Okay, so they are moving into that. Then finally they reach Fair Havens, and this is a place where they wanted they didn't. Paul is suggesting there that let's not move ahead, but because that place was not good enough for them to port in there, as the autumn is coming to get over and winter will be starting. If you are confused with all the locations, then I have a map for you so you can understand this. So as you see here, that is the Mediterranean Sea, and it part of the Asia, and you can see there Tarsus. So you can see there on the right hand side top there, you can see Cilicia, Tarsus, and you can see Syria, and if you see that, yeah, so you can see there Jerusalem and Caesarea. Caesarea is a place from where Paul has started. And Paul boards a ship and is sent to Rome to appeal to Caesar. And then he goes to Sidon. Sidon, he receives care from his fellow mates. And then they go, they don't stop at Cyprus, but they go from other way and they reach to Myra. And there in Myra, they are changing the ship. And they are boarding another ship which is going to Rome. And it is actually a grain cargo ship. And then you find it here, they have a difficulty. From there on, the difficulty starts. They are unable to move through via through the main sea, but they are taking small pit stops, and they are going to Salmon, and they finally reach to Fair Havens. And as you read that name, it is not actually the same. It is actually the opposite. When it says about Fair Havens, you will come to know that it was not a good place to stay there, winter there. Okay, so let's if you. And in going further, as we read more of the verses from Fair Havens, they will be going ahead to Rome, but they get stuck in the storm and their route is entirely changed. And finally, they end up in an island called Malta. Okay, and from Malta, they then finally reach Rome that you see there in the top side. There you can see Rome. Okay, now the next person, please read the verses which is on the slide. Yeah, 9 to 11.
Much time had been lost and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest.
Yeah, continue. Till 14.
When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Kara, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the man hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, and we finally gave up all hope of being saved. That's it.
Thank you. So as you see here, they are mentioning that the fast was already over. The fast, they are talking about fasting, and the fasting was part of the Feast of Tabernacles, and in few of the translations they have mentioned Day of Atonement. So the scholars say that it was somewhere around in October, and it was end of autumn, and it was start of winter, and this was not fair heavens. It may sound good, but it was actually the opposite. It was a very small place, and handling around 276 people. If you come to know the read the next verses, you'll find that total number of people were 276. Handling so many people in a small city, they wanted actually to move to a bigger port, which was Phoenix. If you come back to that map, yeah, if you see there, so Fair Havens, next to Fair Havens, you'll see that Phoenix, and it was just 40 miles away, and they wanted to move there, so that's why they started up the journey. And here, now if you see here, Paul is saying something. He's saying that, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Please pay attention here. He's including lives also. Okay? So you will see that he is now telling it by his own experience. But later on, the angel of the Lord speaks, and the angel says, the cargo and ship will be damaged, but the lives will be saved. Okay, so right now Paul is saying by his own experience. How can he say by his own experience? You know, by this time Paul was good old enough, and he was a frequent traveler. He had traveled somewhere around 3,500 miles on the sea, because he has done a lot of mission trips. He knows all the shape routes and everything, what kind of weather we need, what kind of speed we need, what kind of nautical miles we need to do, and everything. He was an experienced traveler. For today's time, he must be a frequent flyer, right? All that sponsorship programs are given, right? So he's telling that by experience. Let's also read 2 Corinthians 11:25. The next person. You need to be quick, okay? 2 Corinthians 11:25.
Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I was in the open sea all night and the whole next day.
Yeah. So here Paul is sharing his own experience. Like he is telling, like, three times I have been shipwrecked. With that experience he is sharing here. He is just not talking as a prophet, but as an experienced traveler. But you find here the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. How many of the times you have experienced yourself to be in the minority, and majority of the people, those who are deciding or they are doing a thing which is completely opposite, right? And your conscience says that this is wrong, but still you take a stand, right? So Paul was here in the minority, and as we say, the centurion, he was showing favor. He was being kind with Paul. But maybe at one moment he is saying ki dosti ek taraf hai but business ek taraf hai, right? So he has to deliver the prisoners to Rome, and also the ship was, as I told you, it's a cargo ship. They need to deliver the grain to Rome. So it was purely business. We can't make any delay. We have to move on. But Paul, as he, you know, he is telling it, this is not suitable for winter inn. Okay. He's staying to stay back. We'll stay in Fair Havens. But the people say that this is not a good place to stay in. We'll move to Phoenix. And it was just 40 miles away. Let's take a vote call. And they did a vote call. And 276 out of 276, 273 people say that we are going. Okay, Paul is raising hand that I don't want to go. And then he's the only one person, and maybe he is doing like this to Luke and the other fellow. Are yaar, tum bhi uthao. So there, three people are voting, and they are 3 to 273. 273 people, they say that the majority advised, let us sail to Phoenix. Okay, and then you find that they are completely in a stormy journey. Tempest. There are a lot of technical details here, and I must appreciate like how Luke is writing each and every detail. Like he's saying, south wind blew softly. There was a tempest. Wind arose. He's also giving the name of the tempest, Euroclydon. In some translation, it is said northwesterner, something like that. Okay. In today's time, we also give names to many of the hurricanes, right? Tsunami also, and we give them names, right? So even Luke is being very specific. He's telling each and every detail. We secured the skiff with difficulty. And he is also writing we, which means that even the prisoners, along with Paul, whoever other prisoners were also there, not just the crew, everyone was helping to hold the ship together. Because it was a storm jahan par abhi kaidi hai, ya sailor hai, ya soldier hai, koi fark nahi padta. We need to save our lives. So everyone is working as a team. And even Luke, he may be saying, I'm a doctor. Come on, I don't know how to hold this. This anchor, this ship, this cord, this ropes. But he's doing that. He's saying, we secured the skiff with difficulty. They used cables to undergird the ship. They struck sail and so were driven. And at one moment when the ship was unable to hold in, what they are doing? They are unloading the cargo. Okay, so that the ship will become lightweight. Okay, so that with that heavy weight, they are not being tossed in the storm. And in many times, like we are in a comfort zone, like you are doing a very well, good job in your company, getting a good pay, and you are stuck in that comfort zone. And you say, life is going on smooth. Yeah? But there is a moment, there is a storm which comes and shakes you up, okay? And shakes you up, and it challenges your priorities. This ship was intended to take the cargo and the prisoners to Rome. But now, as they took the decision that we need to move from Fair Havens and go to Phoenix, because we need to be on time, not delay. But now, they had to throw away the cargo, okay? So this was completely their priority. Their priorities are being challenged. This is my paycheck. The grain which I'm putting in the sea, I was supposed to get money for this, but I need to put it in the sea to save my life. Then for a few days, Luke is not giving any description how many days they were in the storm, but he is mentioning when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. They were completely lost. They were not knowing where they are. Please try to understand, this is something in 60, 80 AD, and there was no compass. All the sailors used to refer to the stars in the sky. And based on that, the location of the stars, the constellations, they would move, they will make their directions. But it is mentioned neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days. Even the sun, by the position of the sun, they could know. But the clouds, the storm was so much heavy that they couldn't understand where they are, and they are lost. And it beautifully ends with that verse that it says that all the hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Okay, so no one had any hope that we will be saved because this is a storm which is going to kill everyone, and there is no way that we'll be rescued, we'll be saved. I have a video to make you understand that how a storm in the sea feels like. How many of you have gone to sea, like they have experienced a ship travel? No? Cruise? Picnic, yeah. Okay, yeah. So here you see, so the video that you saw, it has audio also, but the audio is very disturbing. They are getting like they are screaming and shouting. It is actually a warship, and so you can see how it is difficult to manage. You can see the water splashing. It is coming on their screen, I mean on that window, and they are unable to see. So this is how a storm in the sea feels like. Okay, and I remember my experience. I and Ethan went to Elephanta Caves, and we have to go by that boat. They put you on the boat. The moment we left from Gateway of India, and after 5 minutes or 10 minutes in the sea, we were not able to see any land. And as I was in the boat, and I was looking down water, and it was giving me goosebumps. And where is land? I can't see any land. What happens if this boat suddenly crashes or sinks? I don't know swimming, and I don't think they had given us lifeboat. We were just casually standing there, and it really gives you a very awkward feeling, like, where am I? And I want to immediately go back to land, and this is what inside my prayer was. And my son was saying, Papa, it is very scary, very scary, and to give him confidence, I said, and then nothing, okay? But I too had the same feeling, okay? So this is what the storm is like. Okay, so let's read the next verses. Again, the next person. 21 to 22.
After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from the Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed.
Yeah, you can continue to 26, till 26.
Last night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.
So here you see, amidst that storm, amidst a difficult situation, a leader is rising. Okay. So Paul, who was a prisoner, he is now taking up the charge. He is becoming the leader. And he says that, Men, you should have listened to me. Sometimes it sounds very hurting, right? Yeah, when someone says that, Meri baat suna hota to aaj aisa nahi hota, right? It feels hurt, right? But there is a point to that. Like, he's telling by experience. And we really feel that, oh, I should have listened to that advice. And he's saying, nevertheless, now I urge you to take heart. Be courageous. There will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Now, his words have changed. If you see the previous one, where I was saying, there is chances of losing lives, he was saying, while they were about to move. But now he's saying, there will be no loss of life, not even one life, but the loss will be of completely of the ship. That matlab ye ship to dubna hi hai, cargo bhi jaane wala hai, everything. This is very difficult to accept it by the captain of the ship, right? All my cargo, all my stuff, everything, my ship will be broken and everything. But they have to accept this, because Paul is encouraging them, and he's saying, For there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. It's just not me who will be making it to the shore, but it will be all of us together. He says one more time, therefore, take heart, men. Be of good courage. For I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Abhi, jo bhi naye nazdik mein, jo bhi whatever island that you see, we have to take a stop there. We need to reach there. Okay. So you also see in the starting of the context, they were not having their food, as you see here. But after a long abstinence from food, was the food over? No, the food was not over, because as we see in the next verses, they are having food together. Okay, Paul is urging them to have food together. Okay, so they being lost in the sea, jahan par life or death is any moment, and you're not sure. Will you be really hungry to eat? No, you will be in that storm and you're just wondering whether I'll be saved, I'll be rescued or not. So being a long time, it may be days and nights, because they are not able to see the sun. They are not able to count how many days it has been. But it says after long abstinence from food, then Paul says, you should have listened to me and be of good courage. I really want to focus upon here about the hope that Paul is giving. Yeah. So he says twice here, I urge you to take heart, be of courage, do not be afraid. He says again, therefore take heart, man. And while everyone is trying to get the ropes, all the staves, everything, they're trying each and everything to get the ship on hold in that storm. But Paul is talking about this amazing vision he's sharing to them and giving them hope. We could draw the three anchors that he is depending on. First, he is saying, first vision, first anchor is, Paul is saying. Yeah. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong. Okay? So, to whom you belong? You belong to God. So, have hope in that I am a belonging of God. Okay? So, he had that first anchor, I belong to God. And what was the second anchor? Okay? Let's read the next verses. Then you will see. Yeah, second is to whom I belong and whom I serve. Okay? So, service. I am on a mission. I am serving God. That's my second anchor. And the third one is okay, I am not able to track it because it's very small in my text. Yeah. The anchor is of faith. Okay? So, he is saying God has granted you all those who sail with you. Now, it must be very difficult for Paul to say, khud ke bare mein to bol raha hai, lekin taking that guarantee for 276 people, even if one life is lost, someone will come and say, us din to bola tha ki 276, everyone will get rescued. So this is the biggest claim, but he is having that anchor in God's promise. Okay, so that is his third anchor. Let's do it one more time. One is ownership, to whom you belong. Second, the service. And the third one, having faith in his promise. Okay. Now let's go to next verses, that is 27 to 29.
Yeah. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea, when about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that they would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. When Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay on the ship, they cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut off the ropes and that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them to all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, "You have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea.
Thank you. So here we see, if you are paying attention to all the verses, you can see here that Luke says now on the 14th night. Okay, so 2 weeks have been passed, but this is from 2 weeks he is counting now for the incidents that is of current day. That is what he is saying. But how many days they were lost? This is completely unknown. Okay. So he is saying that we were in the midst of Adriatic Sea, and they were approaching some land. They could see some land, and when they can see some land, they need to know, okay, how much distance we are having. Okay, so what they do, they put a rope, and generally this is what they do. In 2 days' time, it has changed. What they do is that it's a long metal kind of chain. In today's time, but in the earlier time, they had some rope and they had some markings on it. And they will drop it into the water and they will check how much depth is that. And every few minutes, they will check it so that they will know how much distance we are at the shore. So when they were reaching there, and it was still a stormy time, and if it hits the rocks, many of the sea, you might have seen many of the beaches. Like if you have gone to Oran Beach, and you will see there, even in Kashid also, near the beach you will see a lot of rocks. Okay, so the ship, if it hits the rock, then it will break into pieces and it will sink. Okay, you know the greatest example of Titanic, right? So it hits the iceberg, it is the rock of that snowy place, and it hits the rock, and then you know the it's been cut there and it gets sink. So they were very careful, like what we need to do. So they are checking the depth to know how much distance we are. And few of the sailors, they were very smart. They were knowing ki abhi to pakka we are going to die because it will hit some place and the ship will sink. So what they will do, inside that big ship, they will have some lifeboats. If you know that, there are small boats, and they were trying to lower down the boats. And this is where Paul, again, the leader, he comes in and he says to the centurion that, see, they are going to run away. And this is what I would say, that if until we are not together, we are not going to be rescued. If we are splitting into smaller groups, then we will not be able to beat surviving this. So, you know what? The centurion, he obeys. He is submitting to Paul's leadership now. And what he does? He cuts up the rope so that the sailors couldn't run away. Okay, so everyone is there on the boat. And then what happens is that he also tells everyone to be of good courage, and I have seen that you have been not eating food, you are hungry, but you need to have some energy now. So let's have food. And he's saying also one word of encouragement. He says that even not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. Right? So then they had communion together. There are 276 people on board. There are no mics. There are no sound arrangement, but speaking to 276 people, and Paul, the verses are very, very, you can refer to those verses, what he's saying. He gives thanks, and he broke the bread, and they began to eat. This is completely based on communion, and they had communion together. And people believed what Paul was saying. They were submitting to his leadership. And then when they had a confidence, they had a hope. See, you have to understand, they were not eating till now because they were all in a shock. They are not having any clue that they will be saved or not, they will be alive or not. But Paul is giving an hope, and they are now eating for their survival, for their nourishment. And what? Then they were, when full, they emptied the cargo. They emptied the grain. Now here you can see that they emptied the grain into the sea. So you will come to know that this was a cargo ship which was carrying the grain. So God challenges all our priorities. Again, previous few minutes I was talking about, they were lightening the ship, they were taking out all the cargo, and here completely they have taken up all the grain, they have taken it out, and they are putting it in the sea. So that was the last one, and maybe Paul was very much sure, we will need this food, we will not be needing this food anymore, because the ship is going to sink now, and we will be on the island, and when the ship will sink, you can't take out anything from that. Okay? Maybe they will be putting up all the furnitures also, whatever they had, maybe anything which was of utility, they were throwing it everything so that the ship will be more lightened. And then, let's read the next last verses of this chapter.
When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach, where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time united the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move. And the stern was broken to pieces by pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to the land. The rest were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached the land safely.
That's the end of the chapter, and they finally reached to the shore. The place is called Malta. And as you have read these verses, they couldn't recognize the land. Land was there, okay? So they were, as soon as they could understand that it was a bay with a beach, then they started planning to halt the ship as soon as possible. So they are leaving all the anchors, they are dropping it, they are removing the rudder ropes. Very technical terms written here. They are hoisting the mainsail and let it sail and try to reach to the shore. But what happened? Suddenly, that is a point where two seas are meeting. And like if you see also the south of India, then you will see Arabian Sea and Bay of Bengal, they are meeting together. And it is a very stormy place. So in the same sense, where they were near Malta, there were two seas having a, like they were crushing each other in that storm, the ship broke. And when it broke, then the soldiers, everyone, the prisoners, everyone wanted to leave the ship. They jumped and they wanted to reach to the shore. And you know what? The soldier now, they were saying, not the centurion, okay? The soldiers who were under centurion, they are saying, the prisoners, they will run away. And if you know, during the Roman times, it was, being a soldier was a very hard job, okay? So we have Sheetal here, who is from police, so he knows. So if you are leaving one prisoner, then the prisoner ka jo, whatever was his sentence, whatever was his punishment, that the soldier will have to bear, okay? If he is escaping from your hands. So this is what's so much serious. So if I reach, the soldier would have reached Rome safely, the prisoners who escaped under me, I'll be getting that punishment. So there is no point in leaving. So if this is the chance, let me kill the prisoners so that I can reach safely. This is what their plan. But among those prisoners was Paul. Let's go back to the first verses. I was talking about Julius. the centurion, he was showing favor to Paul. Maybe Paul's life was really incredible while he was under him as a prisoner. He knew Paul was a man of word, man of character, and he would want to protect Paul in any case. And he says that, no, let's not kill anyone. Whoever can swim, let them swim and go to the shore. Whoever can't swim, they can take any of the broken pieces that is wooden of the ship. They will sail on it and they will reach to the shore. Finally, and they all escaped safely to land. Let's remember the promise that God had told to Paul. Not even one hair of your head will be gone, okay? Every life will be saved. But the ship broke into pieces. There is not completely description here, but it broke because it is mentioned they could take the parts of the ship and they will sail on it, which completely means that the ship was broken. But they all reached safely to the land. This, I want to end up here. Let's try to reflect what Acts 27 means to us in a personal life. Paul was a missionary. A lot of times we think, Lord, I'm doing your service. I'm going to all the weekdays, the church cell meeting. I'm doing fasting prayer. I'm doing as a prayer warrior. I'm waking up early in the morning, praying. I'm doing my quiet time. I'm going in street children ministry. I'm doing everything, Lord. But this is a storm. How can I handle this? And God is giving that amazing strength. Like, let's try to reflect what Paul was doing. Paul was also doing God's work, a missionary on field. But God, when a lot of times we say, Lord, when I'm doing your ministry, I want all the benefits, I want the recognition, I want the honor. But Paul, you know what? He was going completely on Roman Empire's money. He was traveling to different places, all these places as you see in the map. But all these places, he was traveling as a prisoner. Right? So God's work, when we take up that, please understand that we have a storm. We need to go through that storm. There are situations where God will challenge us. The situations will challenge us in such a way that we are being shaken and we'll question our own anchors in our life. Paul chose those anchors, those three anchors, that I belong to God, I want to serve God, and I want to have hope in His promises. With that, let's all pray. Lord Jesus, we, O Lord, pray for strength that we can, O Lord, have to endure all the storms in our life. Lord Jesus, there are difficulties in life, O Lord, Lord Jesus. We may go through, O Lord, and we may be currently going through, O Lord. There is no surety, O Lord, that I'll be able to bring bread on the table for my family. I may not be sure if my job will be secure. I'm not sure whether the sickness which I'm going through will come to a healing point. I'm not sure, O Lord, Lord Jesus. The pain and suffering I'm going through, O Lord, I'll be able to reach to the point. But, O Lord, at this moment, I want to put my three anchors in you. This is your word coming to all of us, that to you we belong. You have our ownership. We serve you, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, that we find, O Lord, this amazing faith, amazing hope in you, Lord. That when the oceans rise and thunders roll, I'll soar with you. And I'll know that you are. You still, O Lord, in those storms, O Lord, you'll speak to us in your soft, still voice. And you say, be calm. Be of good courage. Take heart, man. I will not let even one hair fall from your head. You will rescue us. Though, O Lord, the storms will snatch away everything, O Lord. It will challenge our priorities, my job, my family, my health. But, O Lord, I, O Lord, know, O Lord, that my anchor remains in you. When the oceans rise and thunders roll, I will soar with you.
above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. And I will be still and know your God. And I will be still and know your God.
I request Pastor Virgil to pray for us.
Lord, we just thank you for